and make everything new. Until then, our Day of Atonement in the 21st century is Jesus Christ Himself. Hallelujah. So let's humble ourselves before Him. Not once a year, but every day as we find time to afflict ourselves in prayer and cry out before God with a broken spirit and a contrite and a remorseful heart, a heart offering godly sorrow, confessions of sin and true repentance, but most of all, gratitude and appreciation to a loving and a merciful and gracious Heavenly Father for what He has done for us in Jesus, His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ came not to make bad men good, but to give dead men life. Let's look at Ephesians 2 verse 10 once again. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Why? So we can do the good things He planned long ago for us to do. Family, we'll continue with the Day of Atonement next time. Until then, may my God bless you richly as you seek Him daily. Amen. In their worship before Him, Strong's Hebrew concordance of word meanings describes affliction as gently forcing ourselves to cast our eyes downward, to, as it were, browbeat ourselves, to humble ourselves, to chasten ourselves, and to recognise our weakness and vulnerability, or our vulnerable state of being before Almighty God, and to do this before we even begin to speak or sing praises to His holy name. To associate affliction with prayer certainly takes our present day concept of prayer into a vastly different realm, doesn't it? For I see in the midst of prayers of affliction the chance for every prayer warrior to reevaluate our ever-present need for a saviour, thus stimulating an inner urge to offer Almighty God our heart-wrenching reverence. And remember, at this point in our prayers, we haven't yet opened our mouths. It's a picture that reminds me very much of the story Jesus told in Luke 18, 10-14. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, or the religious person, stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus goes on to say, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself, praise the Lord, will be exalted. Family, one aspect of the Christian life that I believe keeps many believers from truly entering God's rest is a lack of deep repentance and a failure to firstly understand and then cope with the various trials and tribulations we face in this life. Every Christian experiences difficulties and failures, everyone, and I for one am a testimony to that truth. But the scriptures, as does the symbolism of the Day of Atonement, they give every believer in Christ the keys to overcoming every challenge. And the answer that screams out from the pages of the Bible is for us to afflict ourselves when we come into our prayer closets and when we draw aside to focus on nothing else other than God alone. Just as the Lord required the children of Israel to afflict themselves on the Day of Atonement, God also expects us to humble our hearts and to repent of our sins with everything that is within us, and then to seek the mercy of God as we begin to appreciate how far under His holiness and His righteousness our lives really are in comparison to Him. In other words, as Christians, we ought to be ready at all times and in every situation to seek God first by throwing ourselves into His merciful and loving arms. And this is definitely wise counsel. For when we weigh up the words of Jesus spoken in Luke 12, 4-5, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him, that is God, which after he hath killed, hath also the power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And it would seem that God holds all the aces. And family, if we're honest with ourselves, even on our best days, we cannot save ourselves nor match his moral and perfect standard. Consequently, we need his favour, oh so much, to fall upon us every day. What does James 4, 5 and 10 say? What do you think the scriptures mean when they say that the spirit God has placed within us is filled with envy? But he, God, gives us more grace to stand against such pride and evil desires. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud but favours the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. And that's true, family.